Welcome to the cemetery. I'm former gravedigger Nathan Barnett from spooky old New England, and you're watching Grave Stories. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for being here. It's our Monday episode, which means it's an in-depth, deep dive into a very real-life true case that happened here on this planet Earth. This one is called The Watcher. You might know about this one. Apparently, this is pretty famous. I just discovered it. This is also being turned into a Netflix miniseries based on the true events. But I just heard about that and this real story a week ago, and I dove headfirst into it, found every article, every news article, every news video, everything I could about this. So without further ado, will you please gently caress the like button into the submission position and subscribe, because after freaking 16 years, I'm finally nearly at 500,000 subscribers. So if you haven't clicked subscribe yet, please do. If you're just finding this video for the first time, you don't know what the heck I do a lot of stuff, but I really like spooky things. So this is what I'm focusing on right now. So please, if you want to see more, there's much more Grave Stories. Been doing this for a few years now, and I really love it. So please subscribe, stick around, and watch all the other nonsense I have. Now let's get into the story. It was the summer of 2014. Derek and Maria Brodus had just purchased their dream house in Westfield, New Jersey. The house was located on 657 Boulevard in Westfield, New Jersey, just down the road from where Maria grew up. Derek was recently promoted as a senior vice president at the insurance company he worked for in Manhattan, and he had just turned 40 years old, and he was now the proud owner of a six-bedroom home located 45 minutes from New York City. Life was good. They were moving into a picture-perfect neighborhood, a great place for a young family to grow. And Derek and Maria had three children, two girls and one boy. The couple did well for themselves financially. They're moving 2 miles up the road from their $300,000 house in Scotch Plains to this much bigger house for $1.3 million. They even spent an additional $100,000 on renovations. A few weeks before moving out of the house, the previous owners, John and Andrea Woods, received a letter in the mail several days before moving out. In the letter, it mentioned a family watching the house from a distance. This was the first strange letter they ever received while living in the house for 23 years, so they didn't think much of it and they threw it away. So now, when the Brodus's are moving in a few weeks later, they're having renovations done, and they receive a very eerie letter in the mailbox. It was late at night and Derek was alone in the house. He was painting the walls that day and was about to head back home to their old house. Before he left, he checked the mail and found a letter. Standing alone in his kitchen at night with the windows open for anyone on the outside to see, he opened the letter and started reading it. This is what it said. Dearest new neighbor at 657 Boulevard, allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood. 657 Boulevard has been the subject of my family for decades now, and as it approaches its 110th birthday, I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming. My grandfather watched the house in the 1920s, and my father watched in the 1960s. It is now my time. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within the walls at 657 Boulevard? Why are you here? I will find out. Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested? Better for me. Was your old house too small for the growing family, or was it greed to bring me your children? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them to me. I see already that you have flooded 657 Boulevard with contractors so that you can destroy the house as it was supposed to be. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Bad move. You don't want to make 657 Boulevard unhappy. And then it signed, The Watcher. So now Derek is super freaked out. He runs around the house, locking the doors and closing the windows. He turned off the lights and called the cops. An officer came by and Derek showed them the letter. The officer didn't really know what to say of it and what to make of it. And he couldn't do anything at the moment other than to make sure his house was properly locked up. And he filed a report and then they both left. When he got home, he emailed the previous owners, John and Andrea Woods, and he asked them about the letter. And they said that they had also received a letter earlier and they didn't think much of it, so they had thrown it away. So the Brodus's went to the police and hired a detective to look into the situation. They were partnered with Detective Leonard Lugo, who told them not to mention the letters to anyone and don't tell the neighbors anything because you don't know if any of them are the Watcher. Over the next few weeks, the couple were pretty on edge and cautious of everyone they came in contact with. This person could have been literally anybody. Derek didn't go away on a work trip that he had planned, and they didn't let the kids wander around the yard too much, but at the same time, they tried to appear in front of the neighbors as if everything was fine. They also didn't spend too much time at the new house, so nothing unusual really happened. But that was until Maria went to the house to look at some paint, and when she went there, she also checked the mailbox and she found a second letter. Now, this second letter took things to a much scarier level. In this letter, the watcher addressed Derek and Maria by name, and they mentioned all of the kids, their ages, and called them by their nicknames. One of the creepier questions in the letter was if the child who owns the painting easel on the front porch was the artist in the family. So that means that whoever the watcher was could see into their house and knew their names. So in order to keep up normal appearances, they had to allow some neighbors to come into the house to see the work they had done in the house. Now, was one of these people the watcher? They don't know. They had suspicions, and they probably shouldn't have let anyone in the house, but they were trying to act like a normal family and be cordial to the people around them. The watcher also asked again if they had found what was in the walls of the house, but instead of me paraphrasing, let's just read the entire horrifying letter. It goes like this. 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all of the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement, or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream. Will they sleep in the attic, or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedroom facing the street? I have goosebumps. I can't read this. I have so many goosebumps. I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which room. Then I can plan better. All of the windows and doors in 657 Boulevard allow me to watch you and track you as you move through the house. Who am I? I am the watcher and have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. The Woods family turned it over to you. It was their time to move on and kindly sold it when I asked them to. I pass by many times a day. 657 Boulevard is my job, my life, my obsession. And now you are too, Brodus family. Welcome to the product of your greed. Greed is what brought the past 3 families to 657 Boulevard, and now it has brought you to me. Have a happy moving in day. You know I will be watching. This creeps me out so much. I have goosebumps all over my entire body. I don't know why this story affects me so much. It's just very unnerving. Let's continue. So this is clearly getting scary for the family. The letter was basically a threat, mentioning hearing the screams of the children, saying the family is their obsession and that they are definitely watching them. The detective made a good point to the family when they said the watcher could see the painting easel on the porch. They wouldn't be able to see that from the street. In order to see that, you'd have to be next door or behind the house, which can only be seen from one of the neighbors' houses. Now, feeling even more on edge and suspicious of the neighbors, Derek and Maria decided to stop bringing the kids to the new house. It didn't feel safe anymore. They wondered if they were even going to be able to live in the house at this point. So now they're not really even at the house, and the renovations have slowed, and the watcher took notice and sent a third letter. This is what it said. 657 Boulevard is turning on me. It is coming after me. I don't understand why. What spell did you cast on it? It used to be my friend, and now it is my enemy. I am in charge of 657 Boulevard. It is not in charge of me. I will fend off its bad things and wait for it to become good again. It will not punish me. I will rise again. I will be patient and wait for this to pass and for you to bring the young blood back to me. 657 Boulevard needs young blood. It needs you. Come back. Let the young blood play again like I once did. Let the young blood sleep in 657. Stop changing it and let it alone. So apparently the house is really wanting the children inside, according to the watcher. So at this point in my research, I was feeling that it was one of the neighbors. There is a pretty unique family that lives next door. But Derek and Maria felt that it was maybe another person who was bidding on the house and tried buying it, but lost to Derek and Maria. They told this to the detective, but the detective didn't have much to go on regarding the other bidders. So at this point, the Brodesses started doing their own detective work. They hired private investigators to look into the landlords and a former FBI agent to make a profile of the watcher. They also installed cameras around the house. The investigators felt that the neighbors, the Langfords, were the best suspects. This is what I think. This family that lived next door were called the Langfords, and the woman who owned the house was in her 90s, and she still had 6 children living with her, all in their 60s and 70s. So, not a crime or anything, but definitely a little bit weird and a little unique if none of the family members ever moved out. The way their house is positioned made them suspicious due to how they could see the property into the house better than any of the other neighbors. Michael Langford, the 60-something-year-old son, who lived in the house still, was specifically of interest to the detectives. They brought Michael in for questioning twice, and both times Michael just denied having any involvement. His sister got pretty fed up with all this questioning, and she said it was harassment. So the Brodesses weren't getting anywhere with looking into that family. One last-ditch effort the Brodesses made when pursuing the Langfords was to hire a lawyer and have him sit with the Langfords and explain why they were suspects and review the letters. But this didn't change anything or discover anything. The Langfords were still denying any involvement. But one thing that they did discover around this time while doing DNA tests was that the watcher was female. But unfortunately, this female DNA did not match Peggy Langford's. So the Langfords were basically out of question now. It's now been 6 months since Derek and Maria bought the house. They were still living in their old house and paying for both the new house and the old house and the private investigators and a lawyer. Maria was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and Derek couldn't sleep at night, so he began taking medication to help. Things were not looking good, so they just decided they were gonna sell the house. They put it on the market, but given the house is now public history, this was pretty famous in the area and even growing to all around the country and the world. People were hearing about these letters from the Watcher. Unfortunately, this caused none of the buyers to be interested. They didn't get any offers on the house. So they had to sell their former house that they were living in and then move into Maria's parents' house. Then the Westfield Police Department opted to restart the entire case. They asked Andrea Woods, the previous owner, if she would provide a DNA sample, and they questioned her 21-year-old son. Then there was a breakthrough that either everyone had missed or simply overlooked. The Watcher had targeted another house. A family living on the boulevard for quite some time had also received a mysterious letter at about the same time the Brodesses got their first contact. But like the Woods family, they threw the letter away thinking it was just a stupid prank. But one of the grown children of the household mentioned it in a Facebook post. That's how the detectives eventually found out about this. This family confirmed to the police officers that they did get a letter that was very similar to the one the Brodesses had received. So because of this revelation, the detective and his partner decided to go on a stakeout at night in the neighborhood. At about 11 p.m., a car parked close to the police's unmarked van, and it remained there long enough to raise suspicion for both of the police officers. The police traced the vehicle to a young woman that lived in a nearby town. Her boyfriend, who had a keen interest in dark video games, lived on the same block as 657. Chambliss, who is the detective, recalled that one of the games involved a character named The Watcher. Now, in my research on this case, I didn't see anyone mentioning what game this guy played that had a character named The Watcher. So I would like to say that I feel it's the game Darksiders. In that game, there is a demon-like character named The Watcher, who is voiced by Mark Hamill. I feel it's this game because the letters started being sent in 2014, and Darksiders 1 and 2 were both relatively new games. They'd only been out for a couple of years in the year 2014. So it's a timely game with a character named The Watcher with a famous actor doing the voice. I'm guessing that's the game he was playing. Don't know how much difference it makes, but there you go, my own little detective work. 2 times they invited this girl's boyfriend to come to the station to do an interview. Both times he didn't show up. Now the police couldn't force this guy to come in to be questioned, so they have to just invite him to come, and if he doesn't go, he doesn't go. Very interesting that he said yes and then didn't show up. So now in this new investigation, the cops basically just had intuition and hunches, and the media was going crazy. Everyone was talking about this house. The Brodesses just wanted to get out of there, so their only option really was to sell the house and cut their losses. So the police decided to close the case again, and then that detective, Chambliss, retired. Unfortunately, they couldn't sell the house. No one was interested in buying this house. So then they decided to just rent the house. So they rented it out and found some people that just didn't care about the house's history. It didn't seem to bother them. Now, shortly after the renters moved in, a 4th letter came to the house. This is what it said. You wonder who the Watcher is? Turn around, idiots. Maybe you even spoke to me, one of the so-called neighbors who has no idea who the Watcher could be. Or maybe you do know and you're too scared to tell anyone. Good move. I walked by the new trucks, and when they took over my neighborhood and mocked me, I watched as you watched from the dark house in an attempt to find me. Telescopes and binoculars are wonderful inventions. 657 Boulevard survived your attempted assaults and stood strong with its army of supporters barricading its gates. My soldiers of the Boulevard followed my orders to a T. They carried out their mission and saved the soul of 657 Boulevard with my orders. All hail the Watcher. So it seems that the Watcher felt victorious from preventing Derek and Maria from moving into the house. The Watcher also seemed to allude to possible harm and danger to the renters or Derek and Maria when they wrote this. Maybe a car accident, maybe a fire, maybe something as simple as mild illness that never seems to go away makes you feel sick day after day after day after day. Maybe the mysterious death of a pet, loved ones suddenly die, planes and cars and bicycles crash, bones break. Okay, so maybe the last part was an attempt to scare out the renters, but it didn't seem to work. That was in 2017, and it was the last letter sent to the house. I feel that what the Watcher was doing with this last letter was basically trying to put an ominous feeling onto Derek and Maria or the Watchers, so that whatever happens in their life that's bad, it's because of the Watcher. Because they basically cover anything that could happen in any normal person's life that's bad. They're trying to get under the skin of the renters or Derek and Maria, I think, as one last-ditch effort to, like, scare people away. Didn't seem to work because the renters just stayed in the house and Derek and Maria didn't get another letter after that. Now, finally, in 2019, the Brodesses sold the house, but for $500,000 less than what they paid for it. Keep in mind, 5 years later, the house should have sold for even more than they bought it for, so it's devalued because of this Watcher. So mission accomplished, if this is what the person was trying to achieve. Now this is where Netflix comes in. They recently, in 2019, sold their story to Netflix, which they will then make into a miniseries based on the events. And the show is simply called The Watcher, and it comes out this year in 2022. Now I'm willing to bet that Derek and Maria made a deal with Netflix for at least $500,000. Therefore, breaking even and washing their hands of this whole situation and walking away as if nothing happened, no loss, and they can forget about it. There you go, everyone. That is the story of the Watcher. In editing this episode, I discovered an update involving the neighbors, Peggy and her son, Michael. And sadly and unfortunately, they both passed away in the year 2020, only 2 months apart from each other. Peggy was 99 years old and her son, Michael, was 69 years old. And since then, there have been no letters sent to the house. Is there a connection? I don't know. You be the judge. Thanks for watching Grave Stories. Hopefully you liked watching. Please click the like. It really does help me. And please, please subscribe if you haven't subscribed. 16 years, climbing up to 500,000. Maybe even 1 million someday. Many people have 1 million subscribers. Not me. Never experienced that in my life. But maybe this year. I'll see you next time.